This is the MLWRadio.com network.
And welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling. Man, that felt good to say. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Strigger. I am back with my man, Dylan. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, Strigger. That's quite an introduction. Hey, Dylan. I really appreciate it. It makes me feel big time.
Of course.
You know, but it's been so long since we've been here. No matter how long it takes when me and you get together, it's always the same. I'm still the sky blue hot-blooded young man, and we're still ready to do this thing about Japanese pro wrestling, our favorite thing in the world. And I can't wait for everybody to hear this show this week.
Absolutely. You know, last time we got together was at the beginning of October, and in the meantime, a lot of things happened. I was at the WXW Tag League weekend, and it was a great weekend, and I did a review on that on the Live Audio Wrestling Network, on the British Audio Wrestling show with Ollie. So if you want to check that out, go over to the Live Audio Wrestling Network, because it was a great weekend, and we discussed everything surrounding the weekend on that show. Really liked the weekend, and was just a great month of wrestling for WXW, and that month isn't over yet, because I'm going to England this upcoming weekend to watch WXW in London. So
it's a globetrotter right now.
Well, not exactly. If I was going to Japan, I was a globetrotter, but that hasn't happened yet. But I'm looking at going to Japan in the very near future, I guess.
Oh, man, that sounds like a hoot. You're making me jealous right now, Strigger. Is that what you're trying to do? But I will say, WXW is a great promotion. Walter, to me, is a Wrestler of the Year candidate. I watched a lot of his work this year. I'm sure you had an amazing time at the Tag League.
Yes. So the most amazing part about these WXW weekends are, of course, all the interaction you get, because WXW is a promotion. You can see that on tape. You can stand on three sides of the ring, and you can also get into interaction with some wrestlers at the after show party. For example, in my case, I saw EYFBO standing at the bar, and they were looking a little bit confused. And then I walked over to them. Hey, I want to help you out. So let me buy the drinks for you. And so I ordered the drinks, and I don't think that you, in your lifetime, you'll very often have the chance to just stand at the bar and give a beer to Homicide. So, yeah. So that's always pretty fun. And, just a very good weekend with nice people. And I'm hoping for something similar next weekend. And so,
yep.
In the meantime, Dylan, we talked last week, and we weren't able to get something done because you were sick for a couple of days, you told me. But I hope you're better right now.
I feel spectacular, Strigger. You think one little sickness is coming down? I didn't go to the hospital. I don't even think I took any medication for it.
Wow.
I toughed it out like a brave, brave person. I honestly, though, and I felt like it was like 300 degrees every day, so I probably should have. But I didn't want to get out of bed. So I just stayed, and eventually I felt better. And now I feel better now, because all the listeners are getting 100% of Dylan on their podcast right now.
Awesome.
And I think we're going to do great. I think I'm totally ready for this.
So the virus had you down, and you were making your spectacular babyface comeback to be right here at the top of your game.
Exactly. Much like an episode of Tiger Mask W.
Exactly.
I feel like I've recovered and been ready to go for now.
Yeah, so we're trying something different this week, and we are going to have a shorter show than usual, and on this show we are going to discuss New Japan Pro Wrestling and All Japan Pro Wrestling, and we'll be back with another show probably in a couple of days after this show drops, where we are going to talk about other promotions like Big Japan, DDT, and so on. But for now, I want to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling in October, because the last show, as I mentioned, was at the beginning of October, just a few days before King of Pro Wrestling had happened, and we haven't talked about New Japan in quite a while, because, to be honest, this whole destruction tour in September wasn't that exciting, and I really didn't have anything to say about that tour, so we didn't talk about it. And there's one discussion point we have to go through, but that's going to be a little bit later. Dylan, I want to start with the top of the card of King of Pro Wrestling. I don't want to go into too much of details here, as it has happened 3 weeks ago from now. The matches themselves, Naito versus Ishii, that was, of course, a great match. They always have a great match, and it was just a very good match. And Okada versus Evil was good too. Thought not as good as their G1 climax match, but still a good main event match, and it solidified Evil as one of the top players in the promotion, especially with the great video they played for Evil before the main event started. But the main talking point I want to get into about King of Pro Wrestling at the top of the card there is that, man, it just feels like it's as stale as it gets. I don't have any issues with pro wrestling being predictable, because for the WXW Tag League, most people that I talked to predicted that the finals is going to be Ringkampf versus Massive Product, with Ringkampf winning the tag titles. And that's exactly what happened. But what we weren't sure about was the way how they got there. So over the course of those 3 days, they told us the story of how they get to this final. And since 2012, turning over to New Japan again, since 2012, we have the exact same road of how they get to their Tokyo Dome main event. And it hasn't changed up since then. And while the first part of the year is pretty exciting with the New Japan Cup, with the G1 climax you have, with the Best of the Super Junior, and you have a lot of exciting stuff in the first half of every year. But then the second half has this destruction tour, where they do matches that are built up in the G1 climax, and where they go to King of Pro Wrestling, where usually the main event for the Tokyo Dome is already set in stone. So you have 2 months in which you usually just build your mid-card to undercard stuff. And I just feel like they have to change that up to make the product more exciting again.
I think if you really look at it, it comes right down to that briefcase that they have that makes this road to the Tokyo Dome, much like you said, just very predictable and very stale. We've seen it over and over again. It never feels like there's any change. This destruction tour, like you said, even those matches, even the matches that are good, like Yoshihashi versus Omega last year or Juice versus Omega this year, it's like we just saw them in the G1, and they're essentially lesser versions of G1 matches. And much like the King of Pro Wrestling, again, still based off G1, and this match with Evil and Okada is a great example, because that match is not as good as their G1 match at all, and it's very rarely top their G1 matches on these following tours. And I just, the briefcase to me is a huge hindrance, and I wish they would get rid of it. I think they could do a lot more different things if they tried to think outside the box a little in terms of their main event scene and how they get to their title contenders, rather than just have someone lose in the G1 and then go right to a title shot. I would love if they tried to do a little bit more. Like you said, how they're getting there, it's just one of those things, you know. And even these matches, I think a bigger problem is we've seen so many of them over and over again. Even that Naito and Ishii match on King of Pro Wrestling, again, another match we've seen seemingly dozens of times in the past 2 years. I think some freshness could be used. And you'd think, and I think they did a good job this year, especially of having someone who is more of a non-traditional main eventer in Evil go for the title. I think that's something that this show should be used for, because it's clear that they don't want the title to change hands right before the dome, or the briefcase, obviously, now.
I mean, it's just, you're looking at the card of King of Pro Wrestling, and you just know that they are not going to go with Ishii versus Evil for the Tokyo Dome main event. It's just...
Oh, I wish they would, though.
Yeah, but it's just that simple, you know? Yeah. It's,
yeah.
The thing about
I think it hurt both of the matches, too.
Yes, big time, big time. As I said, I don't have a problem with wrestling being predictable, but this one just felt so stale and nothing surprising.
And lazy.
That's exactly the point. Lazy, yes. That's the exact word for it. Because
And they're not even trying to do anything different, I feel like.
No, this booking pattern is so set in stone right now. Yeah. And at this point, it feels like they feel they have to do this. And the briefcase is a big, big part of that, as you mentioned. Because what do? If you change it up with still having the briefcase, you could have the briefcase holder lose to someone at King of Pro Wrestling. But that would totally diminish everything you told about the G1 Climax winner in the past 5 years.
Yeah. I just think they should get rid of that briefcase.
Yeah.
We say this every year, I feel like. I think we said the same thing last year. That this briefcase does nobody any favors.
You know, what they should do, in my opinion, is there has to be someone, of course, preferably a babyface, who says, man, I just don't want to wait until Wrestle Kingdom. I want to get my title shot at King of Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple, actually.
They did that for many years before the whole briefcase.
They had the title shot at the Big Destruction show usually in September. So
yes,
1 month after G1 Climax ended.
I remember one year the year Goto won, he actually went to All Japan with his G1 win to go after Great Muto.
That
was a bad year. But they usually do it on the Destruction show, like you said, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think it diminishes the G1 any to have it not at the Tokyo Dome, the title shot. I think maybe they think making it at the Tokyo Dome makes the G1 winner all the more important. But it also, and I think there is some truth to that, but I also don't think it would hurt to do it earlier, and it would also clear the way to have more interesting things going on between now and the Dome in January. Because that's a quarter of the year when you look at it. That's 4 months of the year that is just... It just feels like we're just waiting for the Tokyo Dome right now, and none of this other stuff really matters.
Basically, we are.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's on them, you know?
Yeah, so as we're waiting for the Tokyo Dome to come, this past weekend, actually, Katsushika Okada took the lead as the longest reigning IWGP Heavyweight Champion within one single title reign. He is, as we are recording this on Tuesday morning, he is now champion for 493 days, I think.
Wow.
Yes, and the only record that he... Oh, 492, excuse me. And the only record he is still able to shatter is the longest culminated days as champion, and he's going to pass that record right around the time of Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah, so congrats Okada to an amazing record, because when he will shatter that record that Hiroshi Tanahashi holds right now, he's going to be 30 years old.
I think that's not a great thing, though, that he's accomplished all these records already before he even has really done, you know, been around that long. Because what is left for him to really conquer?
Exactly. That's a great topic. And I want to do a little detour right now about Okada, because we're just talking about that. And I saw a tweet this past week about Okada being nominated for the Observer Hall of Fame. And I really, really hope that he's not voted in. Because in my estimation, a Hall of Fame is supposed to be a kind of a life or a career achievement award. And Okada being in with 30, that leaves like 20 to 30 years of his career that where he could easily drop off within the next 5 years. Who knows?
Yep.
And what do you do now? So you have a Hall of Famer that had a great run, but the next 20 years of his career are just mediocre stuff. Of course, I don't think that's going to happen with Okada, but who knows?
That's true. You never know. They have a candidate in there right there, right now, named Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yes, that exactly.
Has a very similar thing of that. But yeah, Naito's on the ballot this year. So who knows? you know, like I said, you can't control the voters sometimes, and a lot of times it's more just popularity contest when it comes to that. And Okada, I think when you look at his reign, he's been pushed so hard and so strong. He's definitely lived up to his position as the ace of the company in a lot of ways. And I just worry about where we're going to be at 2 years from now if he's champion again in the middle of a year-long reign. Mm-hmm. Will we be tired of this? Personally, I've already tired of him, like long ago, actually. Though I like him as a wrestler in a lot of ways, I just think the booking is just... There's two edges to it, to say the least. There's a good and a bad side. And I wonder how long it will take for others who are big fans of his, which we both know that there are many big fans of Okada's, despite anything. And I wonder how long it would take before they tired of him as well. But I think that could be countered by some sort of change in him and his character dynamics. And it's just too far off to even say, because I don't think that's coming anytime soon. I think the Rainmaker is here for the next few years at least.
Yeah.
But I do think he'll need to change eventually to make himself more interesting and not as stale, as we mentioned with the booking.
Yes, they have to change things up. Just as simple and...
Change more than just black hair as well.
Exactly. Yeah. You mentioned Ace. You mentioned the top of the card here with Okada.
Yeah.
Let's go to the former Ace, because the former Ace of the company is right now the IC champion in Hiroshi Tanahashi, and he is going to be challenged by Kota Ibushi for the IC title in Osaka. What do you think is going to happen there?
I think it depends on what they have planned for the Tokyo Dome, because yep. I think we all I think we all anticipate this Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega match that they've been teasing. Do they think that needs a title, or do they think it's strong enough without a title? And
or is
without
it even
a title,
happening?
Yeah, or is it even happening? You know, you never know because they've went back and forth between that, the thing with Cody, Omega just doing crazy stuff with the U.S. title. So really, anything could happen. You never know. And plus, Ibushi is more of a wild card on his own, so it's just one of those things. Tanahashi, to me, without the belt, is totally lost at the moment as well, unless they have an ace up their sleeve, no pun intended, on that one. But I could see this match going anyway. It's actually kind of nice that there is, especially compared to the last month, where, you know, the top two cards were extremely predictable, and that really killed a lot of the drama for them. Yeah. I think this match is much better, and I think you could definitely see it going either way. You know, if you're just an observer from the outside of the company, I think they've done a good job making you believe they could go either way with it. I think both ways make a monochrome of sense, you know, in both senses.
Yeah, totally right there. I think I still think there is going to be a Kenny Omega and Cody match at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah.
Because they're still continuing to plant seeds for that match, even at the King of Pro Wrestling show, where Cody and Omega didn't really see eye to eye. But it's really moving very slow. Like, iceberg slow. You know? So, I'm not sure in which direction they're gonna go, but at least, as you mentioned, at least there is some doubt.
Yeah.
About the matches that are going to be set up. And I really don't know who is there to challenge for the IC title after maybe Tanahashi beats Ibushi. Who could there be? Could it be Evil, for example?
That would be pretty cool. I think Evil would totally be fine in that spot.
Yeah.
You know, they have like 10 guys in the mid card that are IC title level.
Yes,
that could probably get a great match out of Tanahashi. if they want, because Tanahashi is an awesome wrestler. And there's no real storyline built up.
No. I'm just looking at his G1 Climax matches, and the only two guys he... No, the only three guys he lost to were Zack Sabre Jr., and they already had this match. He lost to Kota Ibushi, they are having this match, and he lost to Tetsuya Naito. And Tetsuya Naito is not going to challenge.
That would be an interesting one. Forget the main title. I just want to fight Tanahashi again.
Yeah, so you can always go do Goto, but I don't know. You can always Yuji Nagata wants to go for one more big match. You can maybe build that one during the World Tag League.
Would be an interesting storyline if they did that.
Yeah. You could totally sell a lot of tickets with that match, because Yuji Nagata is hugely popular.
And they have a great history that they can draw off of, Nagata and Tanahashi. Totally.
So yeah, I just sold myself on Tanahashi versus Nagata.
That's not going to happen, but it would be interesting if it did.
So, I see...
I say a lot of people are rumoring Shibata could come back at the end.
You know, I haven't been keeping up with his blog entries in the last couple of weeks, but I'm going to do that actually again. I just lost track of what he wrote in the last couple of weeks because I haven't paid enough attention besides my working schedule. So, yeah, I don't want to see that actually. No.
Yeah, that's just a lot of the rumors right now. If he wins this match and then Shibata's music hit, I'm pretty sure everyone's going to go crazy over it, like, when that happens. Just like when Shibata came back the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like we said, we just don't know where his health is at right now, more than anything. But at least that, there's a storyline there. They have a long history. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I like that Nagata idea, though. That really is a great idea. But I do think Goto would be one of those guys that are forever mid-card that they could go to. They actually have a history, too, but nothing really recent. I don't know. It's just they don't really have anything planned, so they must have something that we're not thinking about, and I'm not sure what that is.
And that's good.
But
that's pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly.
So to the topic, they must have something planned. Let's go to a topic you wanted to talk about for months now, and I've always held you back on this topic.
Holding me back.
Hiromu Takahashi. What's next for him?
Yeah, what's next? I mean, it looks like they're building him up to win this title at the Dome.
Yes, and okay, then we're thinking the same. Okay, that's good.
It's possibly the most ass way ever that they've ever done with anyone. Because we never talked about this, but I think it's well worth mentioning what happened at Destruction with him.
Yes.
When this happened, it was like, this was like unbelievable to me. That this was even real, because so what happened was, let's just say it, he came out for a title demand, typically as they do after title matches. He was coming for the challenge, but before he could speak, Osprey plays the role of One Punch Man and knocks him out cold. Like, you could not look more of a geek than he did in this segment. And then at King of Pro Wrestling, they did the same gimmick. Yes. Where he came out, but this time what happened? Marty Scurll came out.
Yes, and then broke his finger. Let me quickly jump in there. Yes, Scurll broke his finger, and that was the point where, even to me, who has been sitting there and just saying, well, I just don't know what to think about this whole Hiromu thing, where it almost seemed to me as that's too much. That's too much. But continue.
Yeah, the punch was worse, to be honest, because it's Osprey that did it. He's just not a powerhouse in any way. Should not be one-hit KOing anybody.
He's not a striking guy.
No. But they're both bad, and they both made him look bad. They're clearly building up to him getting a title match. Finally, his big pop is finally getting to make the challenge without getting attacked by someone, which I think is very likely will happen at Power Struggle. The problem is, then... what do we have? We have a match with him and presumably Osprey. That would be fourth, maybe fifth from the top, which is exactly where they were at last year. So he's really shown no progression, and actually negative progression from where he was in April, which is exactly what I said would happen. After they this all started in the Junior League where they had him tied with Taichi. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, you can't say he's a transcendent wrestler when he's just lumped in with a bunch of guys. That aura was dead there. Okay, there's still more time for him, though, because he's still the champion. They can still save this and make him at least someone who boosts the credibility of the division as an ace, which Kushida clearly did not do in any of the times he's had the title.
Oh boy, yes. That's so...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a whole different topic, yes.
And much like I said then, Kushida's not a star or a champion or an ace. So what did they do? They jobbed Kuromo out right away to Kushida and give him the champion, ending his title reign. Okay, like I said, so that's the end of that. I don't think, at that point, I think him being a star would take a lot, a true star, because he's always going to be a star in the division, but between him getting geeked out twice in a row, as well as the actions they portray, you know, they portrayed him to portray, with his throwing a hissy fit, like a 10-year-old, as well as just acting like a cat stuff, that to me is just a comedy character. Like, he is the heel Taguchi on this roster, almost in a lot of ways. Which I love Taguchi, and Taguchi's a great wrestler, and Taguchi's popular. And Hiromu is popular. He's still over despite all this. But to me, he will never be a transcendent star or a main eventer on the Naito Okada level, which he showed signs that he had potential.
I don't know. You know?
He can't. He won't, you know? And because, which, could you imagine Okada having this happen to him, where someone knocks him out cold?
No.
Okay, then.
Okay, so, no, I'm totally with you that they did damage to the character they had built up until April. Okay? They totally did. But,
yeah.
But let me play devil's advocate here. So, while they did damage to this character in April and in May, what happened since then is that if you look at the reactions that Hiromu Takahashi gets, and if you look at the kind of support he gets with all kinds of merchandise stuff surrounding him, even with the cat stuff they introduced in early 2017,
mm-hmm.
while, yes, he has the character himself suffered damage, he still, in my estimation, when I look at the shows and when I look at the kind of people he reaches on both the shows and then on social media, I think the character itself, or Hiromu Takahashi himself, has gained in popularity over the course of 2017. For example, during the G1 Climax, when no junior heavyweight is in any kind of focus, Hiromu was on the undercards and was doing his Daryl stuff. And they even told a storyline with this Daryl stuff. And mm-hmm. they had a payoff with that at the end of the G1 Climax. And if you look at the reception he got at the Ring of Honor shows 2 weeks ago, he is incredibly popular. Not only in Japan, but also in America and in Europe. He's insanely popular. And if you look at the show they did this past Monday, the Super Junior Tag, the Super Junior Tag Tournament, that's it, not Tag League, Tag Tournament.
Yeah.
He gained another victory in one of his Daredevil matches with Dragon Lee. And Titan played a big part in that as well, as did Bushi. And so it seems to be very easy for him to bounce back on any kind of damage they are doing to him, which on the other side is the problem that he has, that they think they can do this to him,
yeah,
because he bounces back, but still, Dylan, I pretty much think that they are going to have him win the title at the Tokyo Dome, and I really want to look at it from there and track it back and how everything turned out with him. And I'm pretty sure that they are going to do a multi-man match here at the Tokyo Dome with Takahashi, Kushida, Ospreay, and Skrull.
I don't like the sound of that at all.
I know.
Yeah.
But those are the guys that have been on the top of the division.
Yeah, I mean, his overness is never in doubt, no matter what they do to him. I would never try to argue that he's not popular, because he's an amazing performer.
Exactly.
In all honesty, he would
exactly.
be in my top 5 of the roster. But in terms of that, like you said, a multi-man match, fifth from the top, is actually, that's less than what he was last year. Yeah. So to me, winning the title, what does that mean? This title means nothing. Like, Kushida's title reign kind of sucked.
Let me just go to the Kushida's title reigns, you know? Kushida has had 5 title reigns now, and you have to, okay, the first title reign he had, he knocked out Ibushi, and that wasn't planned.
Yeah.
The second one, he had the title for 80 days. Third one was actually his signature title run, where he defended the title against, for example, Jushin Thunder Liger. And after that, Liger said that Kushida is going to be the new ace of the division. And then in September, he lost the belt to Bushi for 49 days, reclaimed the belt for 60 days to lose it to Hiromu, and won the belt again for 120 days. So none of Kushida's title reigns, except for this one in 2016, made any sense at all. So that has done a lot of damage to the title. While we thought at that time that Kushida's title runs were actually helping the belt, they didn't.
Kushida's a great wrestler too. I don't mean it as a disparaging mark against him, but it's just he's not that guy. Like ultimately, you know, that's all there really is to it. They could give him 100 title reigns, and he's still just not that guy at his core. Hiromu was that guy, but now, like I said, him winning the title, even if they give him a great title run, what does that mean, really, in the grand scheme of things? Does that really make him a star in the company? I think he's someone who would be very popular, much like Taguchi is, which is a very similar sale.
I don't see him on the Taguchi level, because I think he is a lot more upside. I don't see them as being a...
Sure, of course he does.
I don't see him being a really top star, because he just doesn't have the size. It's just... comes down to that to me.
And maybe that's what it all comes down to, ultimately. From the beginning, maybe no matter how over or how great he was, they would just never let him be, because he doesn't fit their version of what they need to be in a champion.
Exactly.
Which is definitely possible, but that doesn't make it better for me, because he could have been, and I know he could have been, and in my heart I believe he could have been, if they had taken the time, and I don't see any way that's happening now, because like I said, ultimately, you may like this, you may think it's entertaining, but in the end, there's no way Okada or Naito or anybody would have this kind of thing done to them. And he's just, this kind of character is just not main event, no matter what you say about it. Yeah, but he can be the junior ace, so that's great. Junior ace, what does that mean? Really? Not a lot, ultimately. I don't feel like, because, I think that's another thing that, I think everyone thinks that I love talking Hiromu and want him to get pushed, which I do, but what hurt me even more when they went the title back to Kushida was that I knew the division was doomed when that happened, because he could have saved it, I feel like, and we started to see that. And I think I'm someone who loved New Japan Juniors in the 90s. I like those a lot better than all the heavyweights. All my favorite New Japan wrestlers in the past were junior heavyweights, from Kanemoto to Liger to even El Samurai and people like that, and Otani, obviously, you know, one of the top. But now I think the division really is a sad shell of what it used to be. And when Hiromu got it, they actually had like a lot of buzz, where it felt like they were becoming legit stars out of it through him. And I think he could have elevated the whole division. And I don't see how that can happen now, even if he gets the title back at the Dome. And that's what bothers me the most, not Hiromu getting pushed or not, because I love him, but a lot of my favorite wrestlers don't get pushed in this company. So it's really not the end of the world to me, but the division, I think there was hope for once, and I don't have that same sense of hope going into this Tokyo Dome right now. I don't know if you do, but I definitely don't. That multi-man match is just a terrible idea as well.
But we know that there is going to be some kind of multi-man match in the junior division.
I know. We know. I know you're right.
I'm not saying it's a great idea. I'm just saying what I think is going to happen. And you know, on the other side of the junior heavyweight division, we had the debut of Roppongi 3K, the tag team that was brought in by Rocky Romero. And I just want to throw in some more bullet points here, because we have to change it up and go to All Japan in a bit. But Roppongi 3K, cool. The debut, I think, was sensational. And Rocky Romero did it again. Since 15 years, every few years, he changes up and he becomes a different kind of Rocky Romero. For example, the Forever Hooligans, his team with Davey Richards. Then he became Roppongi Vice with Trent, and they ended their team here at the Destruction Show. They ended their tag team, and at King of Pro Wrestling, Roppongi 3K won the titles. and just in an amazing fashion. And they re-debuted Sho Tanaka and Yohei Komatsu in a way that they are looking like the most fashionable young man in the world. And they have this great benefactor in Rocky Romero who drives, who gets the most expensive limousine possible in Tokyo to get them to the show. Just a great gimmick, and I think they are going to be a very popular tag team.
Oh, I totally agree with you. As much as I said, I kind of knocked the division for not being what it was. These guys definitely, the quality is still there, and that tag match from the King of Pro Wrestling was one of the best matches on the show, I thought. And I love Roppongi 3K. To me, I miss them so much, whether in Ring of Honor, CMLL, wherever. I just wanted to see these guys get to wrestle. So now these guys coming back. You see, Sho especially, I think, is really impressive. I like a lot of the changes he's made since he originally left on Excursion. We know he's been dabbling in MMA, mm-hmm. and I think he's trying to incorporate that into his wrestling, but still not as a shooter, but just maintaining parts of it, and I think it's helping him a lot. And I love the finisher, too. When you even look at them, you mentioned their look and how they look. It's a totally different look and the way they carry themselves, but also their in-ring, they just have a really unique and cool style together, and I think they're a great tag team. And that finishing move with the flapjack into the complete shot, I think, is a really cool move.
It is. I liked everything about them.
Yes, I liked everything about these guys.
Me too. And I really hope that they give them a strong run. They made a very, very clear statement when they got the pinfall victory over Ricochet in Ricochet's final match in New Japan, I guess. So, very good debut for them. And also, I want to just mention the Young Lions. The Young Lions Cup has started in October 12th,
yeah.
at the Lionsgate show. And I think Lionsgate 8 overall, from top to bottom, was the best Lionsgate show. Up until now, really liked the Daisuke Kanehira versus Yuji Nagata match, and I really liked all the Young Lions Cup matches that we got on this show. So Young Lions really in the focus right now, and also in the Super Junior Tag Tournament with Hirai Kawato being in a team with Kushida, and I think that's the exact role that they have to get Kushida in right now, because he's not going to be the champion for another couple of months or a year at least, I think, in the junior division. Yeah. So he could easily help Hirai Kawato rise to the occasion, and they really did that with him in the first round match, where he, I think, for the first time did this Topi Con Hilo. I've never seen him do that, but that was amazing. So check out the Young Lions here.
Oh yeah, Kawato, I think that's an awesome team, him with Kushida. You say what you want about Kushida, but his in-ring is always strong. And Kawato, to me, the sky's the limit for this guy.
Yeah.
You want to talk about somebody who's over? I think he's right up there already. And I think he's a really talented wrestler, too, just in the ring. And I think he's someone that's really good. He had a really good match with Narita mm-hmm. in the Lions Cup. So it was good stuff. Like I said, that Kanehira match was really good, too. With Nagata. Everybody should watch that.
Yeah. Shota Umino, son of Retchus Uno, is pretty good too. He's gained a lot of mass last couple of months, and he's good. He's good too. So, a lot of good young lions. And one thing I wanted to mention, I'm not sure. I lost track of what I wanted to mention.
Was it Nakanishi?
Yeah, I wanted to go to Nakanishi actually, but I had something about the Young Lions, but I'm not sure. Yeah, let's go to Nakanishi then, because he's working with a lot of Young Lions too, as is Yuji Nagata. Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi had an amazing match for their 25th anniversary this past weekend. Just amazing to see Manabu Nakanishi. You know, it seems like for some part of the last couple of years, he wasn't able to move anymore. And then there are these periods in time where he's just able to move again. And then he does this kind of stuff where he just takes a superplex from the top or does a missile dropkick from the top, which is amazing. Yeah. So they had a very good match there. They received some gifts for their 25th anniversary. The entire face roster came out afterwards and celebrated them. So that was cool. And to Tokyo Sports, they said that, or Yuji Nagata said, that he wants to do another run in the World Tag League and wants Manabu Nakanishi to be his tag team partner, so that's going to be pretty cool.
Awesome, I love that, because I'm always a big fan of in wrestling when you have somebody, or like rather two guys, that are like real-life friends. and you know they're close, and they also portray that in the ring as a team. And I think these two really definitely fit that bill. And I always like seeing them team together, you know, regardless of whatever's going on with Nakanishi. Yeah, the match was pretty good. And can you imagine this? If you want to talk about how New Japan is in Japan, that show that was main evented by Nagata and Nakanishi, it was held in Shiba, which yes. is K-Dojo's place. And how many people did they draw for that?
2,050 people.
Yep. Like, what other place can draw 2,000 people in Shiba?
Yes, nobody can.
Yeah, exactly. So that stood out to me right away. But the match was good. They actually had a really great match, I think, last year, too, together. So I think working with Nagata, like I said, his real-life friend, really helps inspire Nakanishi to give his best. And I think we saw that again in this match. They almost went 20 minutes with it, so it wasn't like it was a sprint. They had a real main event match together.
Exactly. So check that out if you haven't yet. And also, please check out Sean Mooney in the MLW Event Center.
Hey, everybody. It's Sean Mooney in the MLW Event Center, and here's the latest from the MLW universe. This Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, tickets go on sale for MLW's next wrestling card at MLW.com and Eventbrite. Make sure to get in early on the early bird specials so you can save and get the best seats in the house before they're gone. Tickets start at just $15 for MLW's December 7th event, Never Say Never. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, on the MLW Radio Network, Marty and Sarah went all in on wrestling at AAW and Ring of Honor this weekend. Come for the jokes, stay for Nathan and Nathan's wrestling review and his interview with Eddie Kingston. It's an all-new Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling. Friday, jump in the Wayback Machine with the Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan, and Mr. St. Laurent as they discuss the Florida Territory in the 70s, WCW in the 90s, and answer all your questions. It's Kevin's Sullivan Hell of a Deal, part of the MLWVIP.com Premium Podcast Network. Go VIP for just $1.99 a month for this show and many others. What happened when? Stunning Steve Austin competed in World Championship Wrestling. Join Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson as they talk about the Dangerous Alliance, Austin's WCW TV run, the Hollywood Blondes, and WCW's baffling firing of the man who would become the biggest box office star in the history of the WWE. On Tuesday, tune in to the MLW flagship show, MLW Radio with MSL and Rich Bikini, as the guys talk about the latest news in wrestling, analyze the business side of the industry, and much more. Also, don't miss Primetime with Hacksaw Jim Duggan and me, Sean Mooney, as we look back at the phenomenon known as Hulkamania and Hulk Hogan, as we saw it from in the ring and behind the curtain. And remember, set a reminder on your mobile device right now for this Friday, October 20th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time to make sure you get your MLW tickets to MLW Never Say Never at MLW.com and Eventbrite. Now it's time to get back to your favorite MLW podcast.
Thank you, Sean, and we're back for the second part of our show that we wanted to talk about here. We want to talk about All Japan. And Dylan, the beginning of the show, I told you that I think the top of King of Pro Wrestling was incredibly stale, and the top of All Japan Pro Wrestling right now is kind of the exact opposite of that, because for a long time we had this title reign that Kento Miyahara started in early 2016, and he went all the way through May of 2017, so he was champion for 464 days, just 30 days short of what Okada has right now. He lost the belt to Shuji Ishikawa, who had the belt for 98 days. He then lost the belt back to Kento Miyahara, and we talked about that here on the show a couple of weeks ago. Yep. Miyahara had the belt for 43 days, lost it to Suwama. Suwama had the belt for 12 days and lost it to Joe Doering just this past weekend. So Joe Doering is the new champion right now. What do you think about the title picture in All Japan Pro Wrestling?
I think that this promotion has really lost its way when it comes to booking. You can say that it's not stale, but I don't think staleness necessarily comes from having a strong champion or a long title reign, or that necessarily even being an issue earlier. I just a lot of this seemed really unnecessary to get to this point, to go through Miyahara getting the title only to lose it right away to Suwama, who had previously been damaged by that Kojima nonsense that he went through. And now back to losing to Joe, which I like Joe. I think Joe is a really good person, but they had also cooled him off previously by losing to Suwama prior. So it just seems like there's a lot of 50-50 booking going on among the main event scene, where nobody's really dominant or allowed to look strong. It seems like everyone's kind of the same, outside of one heavyweight we'll talk about in a bit. But it just seems like they don't even know what they're doing almost, and they just change their minds.
I wouldn't say that.
I don't mean that they don't know what they're doing. It's just that they change their minds very quickly on things. And, like, they thought, oh, we could have a Suwama and Joe match. That could be cool. Oh, wait, no, now let's make it for the title. It's not hot enough because Suwama, we screwed over Suwama and then had Joe lose to him. So now we need the title on it. Let's get too bad about Kento, that short reign he's having. Oh, wait, he just ended the big title that ended his long title reign. Okay. I think if you look at it from since May, when all of this these hijinks started, I think every single one of these guys are lower than they were back then.
Really?
I think Miyahara, not lower in that they're lower on the card, but I mean, I think their star power has gone down due to bad booking. And, like, look at Miyahara. He's not anywhere near as hot now as he was back then as the champion, even when he won the title back. Suwama, like I said, he's still dealing with that Kojima stuff. During, he did good, but they've turned him multiple times in this past month. They don't even know if they wanted to be heel or babyface. Suddenly, he's winning the title for the fans. So what happened? You know, I thought he was a heel. They wasted all that time on that stupid heel turn that was
actually
so
wasn't.
Tight.
He actually wasn't a heel. He was just mad at Suwama.
He was a heel. He attacked him behind the scenes.
Yes, because he was mad at Suwama.
It doesn't matter. He was still a heel. That was a turn. Like, that you can't just do bad stuff as a babyface for no reason. Like, he was a total heel, and it didn't work. That's why they turned it back so fast, because it was stupid. Just like I said at the time, when I said that it was a stupid turn and poorly timed with how popular he was. And now he's gone down because he's not as popular as he was because they turned him heel. Like, you know, and I don't understand why they made all of these decisions. It's really, really bad booking. Even compared to New Japan, who we criticized earlier, this is twice as bad as what they've done. I don't understand this company at all right now, and I don't even know what company we're watching, because it doesn't seem the same as the All Japan that I loved earlier in the year, because they just... It's really frustrating to see this, and a lot of people have had a lot of negative things to say recently due to a certain person challenging, which I'm sure we'll get to, but that's not
the problem at all.
Yeah, exactly. That's not the problem at all. That's it's not the cause at all. Let's just say that, you know, and that people were very misguided blaming him. The problem is behind the scenes, and I don't know what they're doing. Like I said, I hate this booking right now, and I think they've hurt many people in these past few months, and I think Joe is no different with these stupid back and forth mood swings that he's had with his character. Kento, where's he at right now? Going forward, you know, it's just one of those things. It's just I don't understand anybody in this company right now.
What I think they did, I think they hurt two people. They hurt Miyahara and they hurt Zeus. They hurt Miyahara because he had this totally nonsensical title reign from the end of August until early October. They could easily have told the story of Shuji Ishikawa losing the belt to Joe During at this big show in Yokohama. In the meantime, they could have told the story of Joe During and Suwama.
Yeah.
So, During coming out on top and challenging Ishikawa in Yokohama. That would have worked pretty good. And you wouldn't have had Miyahara in this title reign where he had no successful defense of the belt. What they did, if you look back, Dylan, if you look back to 2016, they didn't have a main event scene at all. Right now, they're establishing a main event scene that has these four guys. During, Suwama, Miyahara, and Shuji Ishikawa. These four guys are the main event right now. And I don't think that, except for Miyahara, and of course Suwama, because of this Kojima thing that happened, Okay, so we're down to two now. So
yeah, so everyone that I said got hurt actually got hurt.
So yeah,
yes, I know I'm right about
but,
it. Yes.
But still, they are having them be the clear cut main event scene right now. And except and in contrast to everyone else on the roster, they are being portrayed as the big guys right now, and that is clearly visible because. In the last couple of months, since Shuji Ishikawa has become the champion, he had this one title match against Jake Lee in his first defense. But since then, since June, we only had these four guys challenging for the belt. And they are creating a clear glass ceiling. And they have to be very, very careful that that doesn't get stale as well. Stale is the kind of topic we're talking about today here, because they're building those four guys up to be the top of the card, and there is nobody else. Because if we're going to talk about Zeus, dude, what's up with Zeus? When we talk about the October 9 at Kirken Hall show, they had this the third match from the top, where Akiyama and Omori just beat Body Guy and Zeus in 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
That was so baffling to me, because the big guns for a long, long time were kind of holding All Japan together.
They were.
Especially Zeus.
Yep.
And what did he get? He was holding All Japan together for 2 years now, and what does he get? He is now just a guy.
It's horrible, and I know I didn't mention him because to me he's so far away from even being a main eventer that right now that he's not even in consideration. But it's just a shame that what's happened with him. You know, really, I remember this Champions Carnival this year. We all thought it would be Zeus's year, that he would win the carnival, challenge for the title at the big show. It seemed like a perfect story, and he's fallen so far now. Not only that, but then tapping out to Yoshitatsu is just like, you know, I don't know what they're doing with him, but it's not main eventer. I think you're totally right that he is not in the glass ceiling club that they have planned for the new four pillars, supposedly. It's just a shame to see Zeus. I wish I could explain it, but that's just another. It's not just the main events that have been bad. It's like they book everything poorly, even the junior heavyweights. So
let me just jump in there, because one thing that is, I think, pretty good about this title picture they have here is that Kento Miyahara was this dominant champion for a long, long, long time, for 1.5 years. And now that Miyahara has lost the belt bounces around because there are a lot of guys who are on a similar level. And that at least shows that the belt is in high demand. And the belt is, the belt is in high demand, but still there is this bouncing around is on the other side not that good, I think.
Just the way they've done it.
Yes, the way. Exactly. The way they've done it is not that good. And it creates this glass ceiling, as I mentioned. And there are a lot of questions right now that I have when it comes to the booking of the top of the card. And you just mentioned it. Another question, very questionable decision was to put Tajiri and Ultimo Dragon right on the top of the division. I want to say I was a big fan of Tajiri and Ultimo Dragon getting their title match in Sumo Hall, because I thought that those two guys still can have a very good match, and they did. But they gave the belt back to Tajiri now, and Tajiri is on the top, and what is he going to do?
Another hot potato title reign as well that we've seen here. I just think, to me, the juniors, like you said, Tajiri and Ultimo, they're not bad. I don't think match quality is a problem in this company right now, even in the main event scene. I would never list that as one of their top things that I don't like. Turning into the old man's division was an interesting foray, I guess you could say, but they really need to stop it. I think if it were up to me, and they've got a lot of talent on the roster too. People like Abe, who could step up at any time. Nakajima, who they're teasing a new title defense against Tajiri. So we'll see how that goes with the juniors. But I think there's talent there if they want to. I'm more of a wait-and-see approach because it's not as meaningful. Junior heavyweights have never been as meaningful in All Japan.
Mm.
But they have good talent. They have a good division. And I hope that they can right this ship a little bit. Even back to when Sato was double chin, it was kind of like really random. it felt like, but although I enjoy Sato, obviously, and his matches were really good, but hopefully we can get back to some good stuff with the junior heavyweights. I don't think that's as big of an issue as the main event right now.
They're not only teasing, they're doing that, because on November 5, Tajiri is going to defend against Yohei Nakajima in Nagoya. And on that same show, there are two more matches that will fuel our discussion even more here, because there is Kento Miyahara against Takao Omori, and there is Yoshitatsu against Jun Akiyama. And Dylan, what happened after Joe Doering won the belt this past weekend?
Well, Yoshitatsu came out with his goatee that he has now, and he challenged for the title, and the fans were not happy about it when he did. They were none too pleased at this challenge. But, you know, I don't mind Yoshitatsu.
Me neither, but it's just that he has just came into the promotion for the Royal Road Tournament in September. He had a great match with Kento Miyahara, and he showed a lot of fire, and he showed that he's much better than a lot of people give him credit for, especially after his disastrous run in New Japan. So he's much better than that he showed.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not on the level of challenging for the Triple Crown. It's that easy.
It's just a reputation thing, too. Like, I think that's another problem that's really hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think you've
made that point earlier on a show a couple of weeks ago. Yes.
Well, just to reiterate, him coming through that terrible position in New Japan, going 50-50 with these main guys, makes everyone look bad. He needed more time to get elevated properly. Even if regardless of his match quality, is one thing or another. I could see why people got upset, but it's really not his fault necessarily. I just think that they should have done a better job building him up. This title match could have happened a year from now if they had slowly risen him up the card. He should be challenging Nishimura for the title, for his title. Like that's where he should be at on this card right now.
Yeah.
You know, not main event. And honestly, I'm serious. Like I think that would be a great role for him to be that kind of level, the Bang TV or a TV, you know, Gaora TV champion. I think that would be a good spot for him if they continue to have plans for him. Whether that's a good or bad thing, we'll never know. I'm sure this match will be all right. It's more to make Joe look good than anything, but it's just not a good idea with his reputation ultimately. And I'm not surprised that the fans rejected that.
Mm.
You know, I'm not surprised at all, really. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised either, because as I just mentioned, he's this guy from the New Japan undercards who has come in and has taken over the place that a beloved man like Zeus had for a long time. So it's just that simple.
Man,
you can totally understand why the fans are mad about that.
Yeah, man, I miss Zeus as a main eventer.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So
but you know, it's just one of those things.
Just one of those things, and that's what it ultimately comes down to.
This number of this show that we saw recently at the Yokohama Bunkai Gymnasium was not a good number, by the way.
No, it's an all right number, but far from
they should have done better. Yeah, Yokohama, this is their home base where everybody trains. They should have done better. It's for them. It's for.
They could have done better if they had given Joe and Zuwama a long program with a lot of heat built up for a couple of months and then pulled the trigger on what they were trying to tell.
What was the point of Suwama's title reign other than just to transition to Joe? Like, you know, that was another... I think that did damage to Suwama too after the Kojima thing. And Joe, it's more of his helter-skelter character.
Mm.
Ishikawa, how long will he be here? You know, I know he said that this is his home. But it's just one of those things where I don't think we can say for certain he's around for the next, you know, 2 or 3 years. Or even the next year, to be honest.
Why do you think he's not going to be around?
I think he's not under contract at All Japan.
No,
and we know
he's
not. Everywhere.
Yeah.
What's stopping him from going back to Big Japan to be a challenger for someone at any moment?
Nothing is. I think he has committed being with All Japan, and you know, we know that still in Japan, your word means a lot.
Yeah,
loyalty means a lot, and he has publicly stated that he is with All Japan now, and so I don't see him going anywhere else to be his mainstay.
One more thing on Yoshitatsu, because you are right, you make a good point. That's just, maybe I'm just being a little paranoid on Ishikawa, or maybe I just want to see him back in Big Japan. Like, I'm not sure at this moment. Maybe a little of both. But one more thing on Yoshitatsu. What do you think of New Japan merch still being around in All Japan at the moment? Do you think there's anything to read into with that?
You mean New Japan merch being sold?
Yeah. It's on display, not sold.
I don't know.
Like I said, is there anything to? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't read anything into that, actually.
All right. Like I said, that's a conspiracy theory.
I can see that, but no.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago that since they started this relationship again. Yeah.
In May. Okay, let me flesh this out a little bit, because I put this out on Twitter, and okay, a lot of people seem to think that I think like New Japan's buying All Japan.
Yeah,
which
is not
what I'm saying. But to me, people in New Japan are very, very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gedo and Jado specifically, they could talk to people into thinking certain things that maybe they wouldn't think normally, and have influence that way. Much like in Noah, everyone tried to say that they owned Noah, but that was never true. That was never true. They were never even majority owners. There was never even close to that. But like, Noah didn't have to listen to their bad booking ideas.
But
they did.
Yes.
Because Gedo, and the people who run Noah aren't idiots.
But in Noah's case, they really... What did they have?
Even so, like, at a certain point, we knew what was going on. Everyone knew, except, and they kept doing the same thing over and over. And that wasn't because Noah's stupid or because they couldn't get out of it, because we saw that they could, because they did. And mm-hmm. But they kept on with Gedo and Jado, because Gedo and Jado are very smart, very charming people that to talk to. And they listened to them thinking they had their best interest at heart. Now, I'm not saying this is 100% true, but somebody had to make that call from New Japan to All Japan, or vice versa. And when they got them talking, who's to say that Gedo and or Jado didn't make very convincing cases for certain things and certain ways to do things that have come across not that good in All Japan right now? And that's just something I think of. Or maybe not even Gedo and Jado, but to me, there's been a definite change since May, and that's the only thing I can keep, my head keeps coming back to. Maybe that's just me being paranoid again, but that's what's in my heart. If you put a gun to my head, like if you asked me just on the level, I'd probably say no, because it's kind of a conspiracy theory. But if you put a gun to my head, I think that makes a lot of sense, more than Akiyama and Co. just became really bad bookers all of a sudden after like a year and a half of being like really great. And honestly, more than that, everyone acts like Miyahara is just, he just showed up one day and became champion.
Yeah.
But they actually built him for over 2.5 years of great booking decisions on their part that led to him being a great champion. It wasn't like they just magically happened to be good all
well,
of a sudden.
Kind of, because they were in this issue with Zuwama just being out injured, so it was kind of out of the blue because he wasn't ready yet.
Yeah, but eventually he was coming. Like, his time was coming. And they spent years and years building him up. Even that tag team with Go that fell through, a lot of things fell through that led to him being champion. But at the end of the day, they were still building him up and booking him very well in those years prior. And that got him ready. Because if they had just put him out there while booking him poorly, like they do certain... Like, if they booked him like Zeus and then made him the champion, that whole title reign wouldn't have happened how it happened. They booked him really well. It got the fans ready for him to be the champion. And then when he became the champion, he took fire, and sometimes that just happens. But the point is, they were booking good for years, and it's totally different these past few months how they've approached everything.
Yeah,
and I don't know why that.
It's pretty interesting to look at right now, because to say something positive right here, because on the match quality, the match quality on the main event scene is amazing. And
oh yeah,
if you for example look at Zuwama versus Kento Miyahara, I think that was maybe the best match they had this year.
Yep.
It was an amazing showcase, and I've never seen Zuwama so motivated in a long, long, long time. He threw great suplexes, he threw Miyahara around, and he took a lot of punishment as well. So that was a great match. And also, Joe Doering and Shuji Ishikawa are having a great feud this year as well. Going back to the G1 Climax, going to this show here in October. So on the top of the card, there's a lot of good stuff happening, but underneath that, there's something is boiling up. But I just can't point the finger onto it, and I'm not convinced that New Japan is the reason that they've lost track. So that's, I don't know.
Oh, that's an out there theory. It's not definitive, but it's something that I think the timing matches up with too much to be just a coincidence. Mm. I feel like, but they're doing some good stuff. I like Suzuki and Iwamoto, what they're doing on the undercard. Who knows where Kai's going at this moment, but he's delivered pretty well in these undercard trios matches. Mariyama, I'm a big fan of Mariyama. I think he's a really good wrestler on the undercard, but you know, whatever complaints you want to make. Oh, Nomura and, Ayagi they just won the All Asia Tag Titles,
right.
And I think that's a great that's a great thing. They're handling those two pretty well, I have to say. So I do like Next Stream as they're going along. I think they're doing a good job. And the cards, whatever complaints you want to have about All Japan, in ring is not one of them, because even the guys that they book Helter Skelter or whatever have always delivered in the ring. As much as you want to criticize that Suwama win and that both of their title reigns, that match was awesome. Definitely their best match, in my opinion. And I can't wait to see what Miyahara does from here on out, what they have for him, besides teaming with Yoshitatsu. And it's just going to be interesting, because it seems like everything's kind of jumbled up in a mess right now. But it could also... That also means, as negative as I've been on this, I think there's a positive to it, and that is that anything can happen at this moment going forward, because nobody really has any set feuds. Like, Doring and Suwama seems to be over. Miyahara, who knows? Ishikawa's out there. They have a lot of pieces that they could go with that we could see in the future, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, so let's go to that future, because it's pretty interesting. So, as you mentioned, anything can happen, so... November 5, is Yoshitatsu beating Akiyama?
I think it would be a very bold decision to tease this and not just go through it. Because it seems like for them to even bring him forward as a challenger means they view him at that level. And teasing it more will make things worse on him,
yeah.
I think, more than anything for the fans. So I think they should just get it over with.
Right.
And hopefully, I think Akiyama... out of all people, can definitely get a really strong match out of him. And I think his match with Doring will be fine, but hopefully he can prove people wrong and get the heat off of him. Because I feel kind of bad for him being put in this position where the reaction was negative on the show and on Twitter as well. There was a lot of negativity towards this decision, but it's really not his fault. But
yeah.
I hope that they don't make Akiyama beat him, because that would just make it worse, I feel like.
So we're starting the Junior... Tech Battle of Glory on this upcoming November tour. Teams are Atsushi Aoki and Hikaru Sato, Koji Iwamoto and Yusuke Okada, Kotaro Suzuki and Keiichi Sato, Masashi Takeda and Atsushi Maruyama, and Black Tiger 7 and Black Spider 7, of course.
Well, you know what we always say. ProRes needs more Black Spider.
Yes. Apparently. Apparently.
Where are the first six?
I have no idea where the first six spiders are. Maybe it's kind of a sting thing where they just pop up in the arena.
Was there ever even a Black Tiger 6?
Yes, I'm pretty sure there was. Oh no,
yeah.
I think there was a second generation Black Tiger 5.
Yes, of course. Okay, that's what
of course. makes perfect sense.
6 is a very bad number.
Of course,
clearly they just want to skip that.
I'm just very curious if they are going to skip Black Tiger 13 because 13 is an unlucky number.
That's true. Maybe
generation Black Tiger 12 then.
That, yes, as well. Also, I think they need to redo Black Tiger 4 because in Chinese culture, 4 is a very unlucky number. So they need to get rid of Black Tiger 4, I think.
Okay.
And just change him to third generation Black Tiger 2.
Yeah, so if Yoshitatsu beats Junakiyama at this November 9 show in Currican Hall, it's going to be our first defense for Joe Doering against Yoshitatsu. And also at that show, we are having a qualification match for the Real World Tag League, as sadly Yuji Okabayashi is out with a shoulder injury, and we're going to talk about that in the next show we do. So Daisuke Sekimoto and Takoya Nomura take on Daichi Hashimoto and Hideyoshi Kamitani. And the winner of that match is going to enter the Real World Tag League, and I've got the Real World Tag League participants right here. The tournament itself is starting on November 19, with the current World Tag Team Champions, Junakiyama and Takao Mori, of course, being in it. We have Kento Miyahara and Yoshitatsu. We have Suwama and Shuji Ishikawa, Zeus and the Bodyguard, Naoya Nomura and Yuma Aoyagi, the All Asia Tag Champions. Then, of course, the winner of the aforementioned qualification match. Tajiri and Kai, Ruchi Sai and Masakado, I think that's him here. Manabu Soya and Black Tiger 7, as well as Joe Doering and Tayu Kea, who made an impressive comeback in early October.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty good. I've always been kind of a fan of his. I think he's someone that's good to have on the roster. And that tag league looks pretty all right, I have to say. Some interesting teams, some kind of random and nonsensical ones, like that Kai and Tajiri team, which I don't really understand why they're a team. But Kai needs a team with someone, so I guess is basically how that turned out. I really love Suwama and Ishikawa as a team, regardless of... Of all these booking decisions that we may not understand, who's to blame, whatever, that team is awesome.
Totally.
So hopefully that they can bring some good stuff. I think they're going to bring the goods during this Real World Tag League.
Yes, the Real World Tag League. And so there is something interesting going on with All Japan Pro Wrestling, because on the November 19 show, the opening day of the Real World Tag League, we have an 8-man tag match. Kento Miyahara, Dory Funk Jr., Keiichi Muto, and Ultimo Dragon take on Daisuke Sekimoto, Tajiri, Black Tiger 7, and Dalton Drellick. Keiichi Muto returns to All Japan Pro Wrestling for the first time since 2013.
Wow.
When he and a couple of other people left the company to form Wrestle One.
Yep.
Keiichi Muto setting foot into All Japan Pro Wrestling again is huge, because this guy has a big ego. Enormous ego.
Yes.
And him walking back into All Japan after he left it behind because of the way the company was led after he sold it to Speed Partners, it was, right, yeah. He never looked back. Of course, All Japan and Wrestle One kind of worked together. They exchanged talent and so on. And also some other Wrestle One guys are on this tour, like Ikemen, like Manabu Soya.
Yep.
But Keiichi Muto himself doing a match in All Japan, that, in my estimation, has to lead to some further joint ventures between All Japan and Wrestle One.
I think it can only mean good news for the two companies, to be honest with you. It's kind of cool to see the pro-res love era of All Japan. It's had its good and its bad moments, to be honest, under Muto's vision. But ultimately, he's such an important part of this company's history to get it where it is right now. Seeing him back in the ring is going to be pretty something, pretty cool. And if there's potential, we obviously have Soya teaming with Black Tiger 7, a great tag team. Very logical. But to see Soya on the tour means we already got to wrestle one guy in the tournament. I think we saw some guys wrestle the tag league last year. I don't know if it was this one or the Junior Battle of Glory, but I believe there were some Wrestle 1 guys on one of those
Kumagoro and Koji Doi, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And then they would be a great addition to Wrestle in All Japan more, and I think that could add some extra juice to all of this and kind of not fix all their problems, but be a great, great thing for everybody involved, including Wrestle 1. I think pretty much everyone involved, it helps everybody. And it's going to make everyone happy, but most of all, I think it's going to make a lot of the fans happy. If you're someone who only watches All Japan and doesn't watch Wrestle 1, haven't checked out some of their guys, I think you're going to see some real good talented guys if they bring over the guys we know and love, people like Ito, Doi that you mentioned, Kumagoro,
yeah.
Andy Wu, Black Andy, you know, so many people. Inaba is someone I'm a fan of.
There is a lot of talent. Go back to the show where we reviewed Wrestle 1. There is a lot of talent right there.
Yep.
Yeah, I need to close the show on a sad note, actually, because that's what I have left here on my notes. Yuki Kansaki, a 22-year-old rookie, was set to debut on this November 19 show we just talked about. And just yesterday, the news broke, All Japan made that public, that his debut is cancelled because he had suffered a subdural hematoma, the exact injury or the exact medical diagnosis that has put out Katsuyori Shibata in April.
Yeah.
So, I know, I've seen a picture that he took a bump at the Lucha World Cup show. But, I don't know, he has competed in Kendo, before his wrestling career, but usually in Kendo you get a protective mask. Yep. So, it's really, it really comes out of nowhere that this rookie who has never wrestled or made his debut to be a professional wrestler who had training already has this freak injury. It's just bad. Yeah, just bad.
It's not a good look at all. It's really sad. But if there is a silver lining to all of this, it's that they found it so early.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's exactly. Instead of, you know, having him collapse like Shibata did or something like that.
Or even die in his couple of matches. That could have easily happened.
You know, you never know what caused it or anything like that.
And another silver lining here is that the Japanese companies are so loyal to the people they train. Junakiyama already offered Yuki Kansaki a place in the office if he's not able to continue or even start his wrestling career. So that's good. Yeah.
That's true. I'm rooting for him because obviously this guy had a dream and everything. Wrestling's dangerous, man. I don't think people really appreciate it. Even if you're not, if you don't have this hematoma, this is something that's dangerous to do, and it could happen to anybody. Even if you're just a rookie, if you just take a bad bump the wrong way, it really could happen to anybody stepping in that ring. But he has a passion for it and a dream, clearly. And if he wants to come back, I'm rooting for him. And if he wants to, if he feels safer, I know he's discussing his future with his family. I'm sure they'll make the best decision together for him. And I hope everything goes well for him. It'd be great to see him make a dramatic comeback and get a lot of love that way. But even if he just wants to play it safe, I think that's totally fine too. I just know that I'm rooting for him to be okay. And I'm glad they found it so early.
Yeah. We have a passion too. We have a dream too. Our passion and our dream is talking pro wrestling from Japan. And yes. We've done that for the past hour and a bit. I want to close the show down here. We're going to be back, as I mentioned, with another show in a couple of days. So thank you for listening and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.